This morning's lesson revolves around the answer to the question, will everyone go to heaven? Will everyone go to heaven? Now, certainly if you've been to many funerals, it would seem the answer to that would be yes. Because that seems to be the response at about every funeral you go to, is that this individual will go to heaven. But the answer to this question is of supreme importance because we cannot afford to be wrong about it. Let me repeat that. We cannot afford to be wrong about the answer to that question. People's eternal destiny, their eternal home, is at stake. So our answer has to be based on the only infallible, perfect guide we have left, and that's the inspired Word of God. Many religious groups of different kinds teach that in one way or another, God will eventually save everyone. Sometimes they teach that He will give them a second chance or more than a second chance to make things right. So what verses, what text does this teaching, sometimes it's called universalism, that everyone will be saved, where does that come from and why do people base certain verses upon it? The first one that some look at is found in Philippians chapter 2. Please turn with me there now. Philippians chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 9. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, says this, "Therefore God also has highly exalted Him," referring to Christ, "and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And so, without looking at any other verses, some might conclude, well, that says every, that says all. So all will end up confessing Jesus, and therefore all will be saved. But in that same letter Paul wrote to this church, in the very next chapter, Philippians chapter 3, notice what he writes in verses 18 and 19. Now this is the same letter written to the same people. Verses 18 and 19 of Philippians 3. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." For many, it simply is going to be too late. They've set their mind on earthly things. Their end is destruction. Their end is not salvation at any time. Those who work for and look after and desire things of this world will not be saved. Paul told the church there in Philippi, without a doubt, their end is destruction, not salvation, not at any time. They would not have any second chances. Well, some use 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. They take this verse out and says, well, look what verse 22 says of 1 Corinthians 15. That says that everybody's going to be saved. Well, let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. Paul wrote to the church there. Verse 22 says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." And so their thinking is, well, look, the Bible says that everybody is going to be made alive. So everybody is going to be saved. Well, what does the word "all" there mean? Well, look at the very next verse. The very next verse, verse 23. So who are the all? Verse 23 says, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Who's the all? Those that belong to Christ. Not everyone. Only those who belong to Christ. Those who are his. Those who are his faithful children, his faithful offspring. Those are the all who are being made alive. Not everyone. We always have to look at the context. Well, then others say, well, look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. That says that everybody's going to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Again, the Holy Spirit tells us through the writing of Paul that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so the reasoning is, well, if that's what God wants, that's what God's going to get. If God desires everybody to be saved, then God's going to save everybody. And so that's their thinking. That's where it comes from. Does God desire all men to be saved? Absolutely He does. That's not the only verse that says that. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says the same thing. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Verse 9, 2 Peter chapter 3 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So everybody's going to be saved. Well, we just looked at those other verses that says they're not. So here's a case of what God desires is not what God's getting. God wants everybody to be saved. The Bible's clear about that. He wants everybody to do what? To choose to repent. Notice what He adds at the end of verse 9. He wants everybody to come to repentance. Why should they be saved? What must they do? They must choose to come to repentance. If they don't, they'll be lost. But He wants them to. That's His desire. But that's not what's going to happen. Yes, God wants it. That's His desire. But He gave everybody freedom to choose. They can choose to repent or they can choose not to repent. And if they choose not to repent, then they have no hope of salvation. So when we pull out a verse here, a couple verses there, and not look at what the context is saying, no wonder people think, well, everybody's going to be saved. But when we look at the broader context, we see that God says, no, they won't. Not everyone will be saved. Jesus even said that Himself, didn't He? Matthew chapter 7. He says there's two roads, one that's narrow and straitened and constricted. He says that's the one that leads to salvation. And Jesus said, very few are going to choose it. Why? Because the broad way, the easy way that most people choose leads to what? Destruction. Most people will not be saved. Jesus made that clear as He could make it in that Sermon on the Mount. Will everyone go to heaven? No. Jesus says they will not. God says they will not. The Holy Spirit says they will not. Why? Because they choose not to go. God doesn't force anyone to go to heaven. He doesn't force anyone to go to hell. It's entirely their own decision. He wants everybody to be saved. He desires everybody to be saved. But He's given them the choice. He's given everybody that doesn't force anyone to go to heaven. He doesn't force anyone to go to hell. It's entirely their own decision. He wants everybody to be saved. He desires everybody to be saved. But He's given them the choice. He's given everybody the choice, the option, the ability. They can repent or they cannot repent. Others say God, even after this life, he's going to give people second chances. Of course, many that believe in various premillennial doctrines say that God's going to give people second chances. Various cults teach this. God's going to give them second chances. Various religions say God's going to give people second chances. Is God going to give people second chances? That's an important question to answer. Is he? And is there a hint of second chances anywhere in the Bible? Is there the slightest indication, the slightest hint that anyone will be given a second chance, a second opportunity? Let's begin by looking at Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, we'll begin reading in verse 22. Luke 13, we'll begin reading verse 22. These are the words of Jesus here that we're going to be reading in a moment. Verse 22 says, "And he went," referring to Jesus, "through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then one said to him, 'Lord, are there few who are saved?' And he said to them, 'Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, "Lord, Lord, open for us," and he will answer and say to you, "I do not know you, where you are from." Then you'll begin to say, "We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets," but he will say, "I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity." There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out. Sound like a second chance to you? Definitely not. Once the door is shut, it's what? It's shut. It's locked. No more opening, no more closing. It is completely shut. No second chances for anyone under any circumstances. We move back to Matthew's account of the gospel in Matthew chapter 8. And we'll begin reading in verse 11. Similar to what Luke's account there in 13. Matthew chapter 8, notice verses 11 and 12. Jesus says, "And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." They'll be what? They'll be cast out. And where are they going? Into outer darkness. And what's going to happen there? There's going to be weeping and there's going to be gnashing of teeth. No second chance for those people. None whatsoever. They turned their back on God. In Matthew 25, near the end of Matthew's account of the gospel, Matthew, in talking about Judgment Day, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 and 32. Matthew 25, verses 31 and 32. "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." What's going to happen? He's going to separate them into the sheep and goats. Verse 41. "Then He will also say to those on the left hand," the goats, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." How long does the fire last? It's everlasting. Verse 46. "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." There are no second chances there. No more opportunities. Once one has been sent to their home, that is final. No second chances. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "After death comes what? Judgment." It does not say after death comes another chance. After death comes other opportunities. No. It says, after death, judgment. No second chances. The book of Revelation reveals much to us about what will eventually happen. In Revelation chapter 21, I want us to notice in these verses that there is a clear distinction between those who are inside and those who are outside. Those who are saved, those who are not saved. Revelation chapter 21, we'll begin reading in verse 22. This is John's description of heaven. Verse 22 says, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it." Now notice verse 27. "But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." Will everyone be saved? No. There's a clear distinction, difference, a line of demarcation between those who are inside, who are saved, who are in heaven, and those who are not. In that same book, Revelation chapter 22, notice verses 14 and 15. "Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie." Notice those people will never enter into the gates of heaven. And he describes the type of person. Second chances, none whatsoever. They will never enter into those gates. No second chance to enter. No second chance to make amends. No second chance to repent. None. They will be outside, lost forever. In Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 11, this is the great judgment scene, the throne of God. Verse 11 says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." The lake of fire is not to get someone to repent. The lake of fire is what? He says it's punishment. It's not to purify someone's soul. It's not to encourage them to repent and come to God. Those chances are gone. The lake of fire is simply and solely for punishment, and that's the only reason. Devil and all of his co-workers are there. And then look at the verses we've talked about, the types of people who are there. And they have no second chances, no more opportunities to make things right. That's what this life is about. Every moment we have on this life, we have an opportunity. God gives us chances in this life. But after this life, comes judgment. No second chances, no more opportunities, no more anything. Our fate, our destiny is sealed, and it's sealed forever. As we read in those verses, those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will enter into the gates of heaven and enjoy being in His presence forever. There's where the tree of life is. But those that we read about that made choices in this life, not to repent, not to obey, not to come to Jesus, those are outside and never given entrance. So will everyone go to heaven? The Bible says very clearly and explicitly, no. Many will be denied entrance. Why? Because of the choices they made in this life. This life is our trial. This life is our proving ground. This life is our second chance. And as long as we have breath and long as we're living, we can make those decisions. But once death overtakes us, all opportunities are gone. It's a very sobering thought, but it's a very true thought taught throughout God's Word. No, everyone's not going to heaven. No, most people are not going to heaven. Jesus Himself taught that. Only those who choose that narrow path. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. He's the only chance. He's the only way. There are no other paths. So we must come to Him in faith. We come to Him in repentance and confession. We come to Him in baptism. We have our sins washed away. And we come to Him, and it's His blood that continues to wash away our sins every day when we come to Him and confess and repent of those sins. This morning, yes, it's a sobering thought. He gives us choices. He gives us chances, opportunities now to do what we need to do. And if this morning is the time you need to do that, we encourage you and desire and want you, as does God, to make the right decision. And if you need to come, please do as we stand and sing this song.